Welcome to Hot Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction, haunted entertainment community. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And we may sound a little different this time.
Right.
We're on different equipment because we are talking to our good old friend, Japes Palace. Japes, take a moment and say hi to the nice people.
Hello, nice people. How are you today?
I think nice people covers like exactly one third of our listenership.
Sounds about right.
The rest is just jerks. All the everything. But yes, indeed, we are going to be talking today about actor auditions, and because this has been a topic that's been pretty big on various groups, we'll get to that in a minute more detail. But you and I have never actually done an audition.
No,
never really held one. Never really participated in one.
No.
Never been asked to audition. Just kind of managed to avoid it for 15 years now.
Yeah.
So we brought in someone who knows a thing or two about auditions and Japes.
Yeah, I can say from my own experience, I also have not been on the actor side of auditions, but I can definitely talk about what it's like on the management perspective for sure.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Well, that's what we'll be discussing today. And if you didn't realize this is Haunt Weekly. We're at hauntweekly.com or Haunt Weekly on Twitter, Haunt Weekly on Facebook. tinyurl.com/hauntweekly is our YouTube channel. We're also on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever finer podcasts are distributed. They haven't kicked us out yet. I don't know why. But yes, okay. As you know, we have a guest this week. As is the rule with guests, we don't do conference reminders. Basically, if you want conference reminders, go back, listen to last week's, remove the top one. I think it's – no, actually, no. It's just the same list.
Yeah.
Same list. That doesn't happen until the 10th and the 11th. So this kicks us –
don't forget, though, that Midwest Haunters Conference is going to be in Chicago June 9th.
It sounds like you might have –
might have a special interest in this.
Yeah.
I Lost Souls might have a booth there. Brewster may be running around like a lunatic for the entire weekend. Yeah.
Has Brewster ever not run around like a lunatic?
No. That's when I let him out of the cage, that's pretty much what he does.
Yeah, I figured that was kind of his gimmick, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of his thing. But yes, and they will be touring a lot of great haunts at that. Mm-hmm. Looks like they're going to have an awesome time. It looks like an awesome conference. I agree completely. If you're in the area, go see Brewster, see Japes, hang out, see some great haunts, some great classes, do awesome things.
Mm-hmm. Lots of good stuff going on. I've had a behind the scenes kind of look at what's going on, and I can tell you coming to Chicago is going to be a really great thing for MHC. MHC has always been my favorite show, but I think the amount of stuff that we have available here in Chicago is just really going to kick it up a notch. So, and I know like the show floor is almost sold out. So, I mean, there's going to be a lot of cool vendors and everything. So, no conference reminders except for MHC this year.
Well, yeah, that is fair. We have to do the MHC conference reminder because of Japes.
Yeah, that's right.
That's perfectly fair, perfectly reasonable. So, yes, as you know, this is Japes Palace, a man has worked all over the haunt industry, mm-hmm. hither and yon, doing a wide variety of roles, and one of his lead roles, one of the main things he does, is actor coaching and actor management. Mm-hmm. And he's been on several podcasts before. You can listen to him talk about actor management, dealing with cancerous actors or cancerous staff. His wisdom has always, always been appreciated, and we appreciate having him today.
Thank you for always having me. I appreciate it. It's fun to talk haunt stuff with you guys.
Now, this is the thing. This has been coming up a lot in the haunt groups, actor auditions. We're getting into that season where haunts are starting to ramp up their actor intake process, whatever that may be. Mm-hmm. And the actors are starting to get nervous about said process. Mm-hmm. There was an article on the Haunted Attractions Network by Scott Swenson that went about 3,000 words. There's also been two threads on Haunters Hangout about this in just the past couple of weeks. So, yeah, a lot of the feedback we've been getting and we've been seeing has been from first-time actors.
Right. And the one on Hunter's Hangout that caught my attention just recently that sparked this particular talk was by Livia Ann. Livia Ann, thank you for your participation in Hunter's Hangout.
Yes. So here's the thing. A lot of actors are starting to be thinking about want to work for a haunt, want to do this next year. They might be going to the first audition or doing their first actor intake. I guess the first thing I would ask someone like you is, how do you choose which haunt you work for or you try for?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I take a special interest in that question and kind of when I see people on Haunters Hangout or I see people in various places, you know, kind of trying to find out, hey, I just moved to New Jersey. You know, what haunts can I work for? You know, that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think it's so important because Haunters Hangout is great for the fact that it's a massive, massive network. I think there's like 30,000 members.
I thought they crossed 40K actually, but yeah, it's a lot.
It's gigantic.
It's giant. Either way, it doesn't matter. It's giant.
It's huge. And so that means there's people everywhere. And, you know, I guess I kind of look at it like I look at any job, whether it's a haunted house or whether it's, you know, a regular job, you know, who you know is really important. Being connected is very important. The majority of people get jobs not because of their talent, their skills, their resume. It's because of who they know.
So depress the people right off the bat.
Yeah, good job, Japes. All right, good night, everybody. This one, I guess, is over.
So if you don't know anybody at that haunt, you're probably completely screwed, and you should just give it up.
That's what it sounds like.
It's over. Go home. No. Oh, no, that's not what we're saying. Okay.
No.
There's still plenty of options, for sure. But as far as, like, kind of being able to guarantee yourself a position, a lot of times, and again, like I said, this is any job. This is no different than the regular world. If you have people connecting you there, then what you're going to get is at least people to look at your resume, at least to bring you in for an interview, at least an opportunity to introduce yourself to the people who would make that decision. So certainly reach out on groups like Haunters Hangout. I want to give a little plug for Freelance Haunters. That's part.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to mention that.
You're allowed to do plugs, dude. It's like a thing.
Well, it's funny because I'm hesitant because the goal of Freelance Haunters is not to have massive numbers. In fact, if I don't want it to have anywhere near what Haunters Hangout has, because I want the conversations to be very more directed, and I want people to be showcasing the skills they have. You will never see in Freelance Haunters post your clown pictures here.
Right. No.
Everybody just posts photos of Japes. I don't care.
But I want Freelance Haunters to be an opportunity, kind of a like almost a hiring page, you know, where haunt owners can go there and see, like, all right, we're looking for people in the Chicagoland area, you know, and kind of use it as a sounding board for that. But I also want actors and other haunt, you know, if you whatever role you're looking for in a haunt, to be able to connect with those people as well.
Right.
But it's not, again, like, I don't want massive numbers because I want the conversations always to be very, what's the word I'm saying? I want to say without
focused and
really like people meaningful. Showing, being able to bring their expertise, you know, not everybody that works in haunted houses has the level of expertise, to contribute to very challenging conversations, I think.
Got it. Okay.
Okay.
But yeah, so in terms of how to choose where to audition for, the first piece is you got to reach out to your networks and you got to connect to people and you need to find out what's going on there. And it's not always for the purpose of like making sure you get in the door. It's about checking the culture. Do I even want to work here? Is this place going to be a good fit for me? You know? So I think a lot of it is understanding that different haunts have different styles. And if you understand your style, you'll find some place where you're going to fit in better.
Yeah. And I think to this point, I would also say, you know, go and check out the haunt's website and their videos, their promo videos, and check the comments and see how they deal with customers. Because a lot of times you can get a feel for the management side of it. Just by seeing, you know, if they got a bad review, what they do how they react to that.
Yeah, that's a good point. You're looking at like the Google reviews, the Facebook reviews, even Yelp now, a lot of some haunts are starting to use Yelp.
So, God help us all.
I know, right? yeah. I have a friend who works from Yelp, and he's like, "You gotta get it. You gotta get Lost Souls out there." I'm like, "Ugh." Ew.
Yep. Did you make the crucifix?
I think you're totally right, Crystal, in that people need to do the research and look into the haunts and understand what they are. You know, I have a perfect example. I have a guy who used to work with me. One of the actors who worked at the Rob Zombie show, and he's reached out to me in the off season and said, you know, "Hey, you know, like, where should I go work? You know, there's all these haunts. Where should I check out?"
Yeah.
And I can speak very highly about most of the haunts in Chicago. And I can recommend people, like, you're not going to go to there's not many places in Chicago that I would say like, "Oh, you really want to stay away from there. 'Cause it's toxic." I could recommend him anywhere, but the thing is, I know him, and I know like what he's into and what his style is. So I would recommend him for a particular haunt because that's their style. He fits right. their style. Whereas I might take somebody else and say, "Hey, you should go over here because it's going to fit your style." You know, but definitely having the inside knowledge of the culture of the haunt and like how they take care of their people, you know, how they take care of their customers, you know, is safety a consideration? Some places, you know, some places they'll let you run as hard as you want. You know, even though they know it's going to kill you, you know, other places are like, "Hey, pace yourself. We want you to last the whole season." So I think, you know, definitely look at the haunts websites, figure out what their image is, what their style is that they're trying to sell, and figure out what fits for you, you know?
Makes sense. Okay.
So now that you've chosen which haunt you want to audition for, what should a newbie expect?
So I think, you know, you have to remember, and I, Scott Swenson, right? That is
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Scott wrote that article about it, about, you know, nailing your actor audition and everything. And, one thing that he said that I thought was really important to point out was that everybody that's there wants you to be successful. Like nobody doing an audition or, you know, like judging the auditions or whatever, hosting the auditions, nobody wants to like come in and be like, "Oh, that guy totally sucked." Like that's not the goal. The goal is to figure out what the person's strengths are and find where they'll be a good fit in your show. So we all want you to be successful. We're not rooting against you. So know that like we always want what's best for you. And a lot of people, I think people that are good at doing auditions, they're going to throw you a bone. If they see that you're stumbling, if you're messing up or you're nervous or whatever, they're going to throw you a bone. So keep that in mind is that they want you to be successful. They're not there to just crush people. They're there to like find people the right spot. So I think that's an important thing to think about.
That's really good.
When I read it, I was like, yeah, exclamation point on that one. That's a really great point.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of like the type of roles that you're going to be auditioning for, again, a good audition is set up in a way where they're looking at your strengths and they're looking at where would this person be a good fit. Now,
yeah.
If you're somebody, I guess, who's been obviously, if you're listening to this podcast, then you're embedded enough into the haunt culture to understand that there are different types of roles. And if you're of the mind of like, "I'm going to get this role so I can go be the star at this haunt," like maybe you will be, maybe you will be. But if you haven't actually worked in a haunt before, remember that you're going to start off low man on the totem pole. You're going to be the low person that is trying to figure out their place and how to work a haunt. You know, no, I've never met anybody, and this is close to 20 years of doing haunts now. I have never met anybody who just like walked in the door and had it, you know, unless they had previous haunting experience. But a new person who has never haunted before it's very, I don't think I've ever seen anybody just walk in the door and have it.
Yeah.
So know that, I mean, yes, you may get the position, you may get the job, but like, you're not going to be awesome right away. It's okay. It's okay to be uncomfortable.
In fact, it's probably a good thing that you're a little uncomfortable right about. Yeah, and then that is one of the things I think is very important to remember is when you go in for an audition, there's multiple ways to quote unquote win the audition, so to speak. Because like you said, there's so many different styles of actors, so many different ways you can do it. Okay, maybe you're like the least physically intimidating person on the planet, you know, like me. And the result of that is you get put in a sneakier role or you get put in a talky role where you're using your words. You know, you find something that's different and find something that fits you. And that's really what it to me an audition should be about. It's not rejecting or approving people as much as trying to find where they fit in the jigsaw puzzle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's right. And that's, I think I'm going to build on that. But I think that, John, you just hit on like the first major nugget of knowledge that you have to have as an act going into an audition. Like, you don't know the haunt. You don't know the positions that are available. You don't know what the auditioner, the managers are looking for. But a good manager is going to look at your strengths and figure out where you fit. And so mm-hmm. what's more important than your acting ability, I'll step to that in a second, but what's more important than your acting ability is really your professionalism and how you carry yourself.
Yeah.
If you've ever something to check out in terms of like hiring and understanding the hiring process and why are most companies do hiring completely wrong, but there's a book and it's on Audible too. So if you like to listen to audio,
this podcast is sponsored by Audible.
Not
get
yet.
Your free
book. No.
Hey,
no.
Damn it! Should have thought that through.
My cousin's paying me royalties because he works for Audible. So
there's the disclosure.
No, there's the disclosure.
No, there's a book though by the guy who was the head of hiring at Google, and I can't think of his name. I'm gonna have to get it to you later. Maybe put it in the show notes because I just got a new phone and I can't even open it up because I don't have Audible. But the whole book is about how Google does hiring. And one of the things to understand that every employer wants, Google does it in a really good way, but all employers want, they want to know, can I work with this person for 40 hours a week?
Like, or will I kill them?
Yeah, exactly. They don't care about your skill. They don't, because like they can train you on your job. All of your job responsibilities can be trained and can be taught. If you're a person who demonstrates that you're a person who is open to learning, that's open to growing, that's open to suggestions, if you are that type of person, then what we're really looking at is, am I going to want to kill this person? or can I put in 20 days, you know, of hard-ass work with this person? That's what we're looking for. Are you going to be a good fit to the team? Again, your acting ability, your actual skills that we need for the haunt, that's kind of secondary. You know, that's kind of secondary.
Yeah. And the counter to all this is if you don't get a call back from an audition, it's not necessarily a report, a knock on your professionalism or your acting ability. It may just be you were not a good fit for that haunt. And they're probably saving you the experience of having to be shoulder to shoulder with people that you'd probably want to kill too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's man, you are knocking it out of the park.
Woo!
That's a great point. It's like, I guess again, I keep going back and forth between, you know, auditions and just job interviews. You know?
Yeah.
When you don't get a job, it's not because you're an asshole, or maybe it is. If you're an asshole.
It might have been my problem a few times. I'm just going to throw that one out.
Again, the people who are doing the hiring know what they. And if you're not the good fit for that, then they're not going to hire you. And not everybody is a good fit for everything. You know, you have to understand that. Like, you're not perfect at everything. You have a skill set. You have certain strengths. And if it doesn't fit into what they need, then you're not going to fit. That being said, let's step back for a second and understand that the majority of haunts that I've ever worked for don't really turn many people down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to be the person that comes in and pulls out a switchblade, you know, and uses that as your scare to be somebody that we're going to be like, I don't think you should be here. You know?
Yeah.
The majority of people, when you're doing an audition, you're going to get the role in a haunted house. You're going to get a job in a haunted house. It's just really, like I said, a matter of the management team looking for where is this person going to fit best.
Yeah, I agree. So this begs the next question, though. How does one prepare when going into meet or even formally audition at a haunt?
Yes. So that kind of goes to what we were talking about before, I think, in terms of go to the website, figure out what this place is all about. You know, there's certain haunts that have a certain aesthetic, a certain way that they want things to look. You know, they've got a certain feel to it. And you can see that from their promo videos, from their website. Do they have a backstory? Like,
yeah.
You know, think about that. Like, if you go on a website, a haunt website, and it's got this big, huge storyline. Like, if you go to Hell's Gate, the storyline is massive.
Huge. Yeah.
It's a freaking novel. It's giant. And then
the novel's available on Audible.
read by my cousin. you know, like if you go into Hell's Gate and you bring in this like robot character, they're gonna laugh. They're gonna be like, "No, you're obviously not a good fit because you didn't do your homework." And that's not what we do here. Everything we do is from like, you know, the 1800s, early 1900s. So it's all like a very timepiece. You have to make sure you fit into that look. So like customizing your audition and keeping those pieces in mind of the type of characters that are gonna be here are all like this. That's gonna help you to be more prepared because again, if you're doing a character that may be a really great character, right? It may be something really awesome that you're really maybe you've developed it prior to coming in or whatever. It may be awesome, but if it doesn't fit with the way that they do things, then it's wasted. You know, it's totally wasted. So I think, you know, check out their website. Crystal, I think you had an amazing suggestion of checking out the reviews and understanding, like, what is the customer's perception of this place? You know, like, what are customers seeing about it? You know, I have a certain insight because I work with the haunts, so I know what I'm looking, what I see, but I don't necessarily know what the customers see. And that's why Google reviews and Facebook reviews and Yelp reviews are a great place to understand what's going on there.
So if a, because this has been like on my brain, Leanne's discussion, one of the things that the haunt she's applying for or auditioning at said to come in makeup. Obviously you can find the style and stuff, but should that be is that common for haunts to want you to come in makeup or full character?
I can't say that I've ever heard of that. I know personally, I would never do that actually, because unless I was hiring somebody for a makeup position, right?
Yeah,
right.
I don't care your ability to do makeup unless I'm hiring a makeup person. If you're an actor, I don't want you to put makeup on because you know what? When you come into my haunt, you're not going to get to put makeup on. We have makeup people that will do that. So, you know, I think all right, I'm going to go ahead and throw out the hidden secret I'm keeping.
Okay.
Uh-oh. Okay.
I don't like auditions. I don't think it's a good idea for haunts to do auditions, personally. And the reason I say that is because, and I think I said it on one of the shows that I did with you before. I've definitely said it on some shows, and I believe it very firmly. The great majority, and I'm talking like at least 90% of haunters are not actors. They're not actors. They're people who want to scare people.
Yeah.
They're not actors. They're not formally trained actors. Most of them have never auditioned for anything in their life. And now you put this extra level of stress of like, here's a person who would potentially be somebody who's good at scaring people, but isn't a good actor, and you put them into a position where they feel like they have to be an actor. It's not going to go well. 9 out of 10 times, it's just not going to go well because they don't know how to audition. So I say that to say, maybe them putting makeup on is them kind of throwing them a bone. Because one thing I've also found in doing trainings, where all of my trainings are done out of costume, out of makeup. So it's just people in street clothes acting crazy. You know, maybe that's
also known as New Orleans on Friday night.
Maybe that's just them throwing the actors a bone and saying, look, once you're working in the haunt, you're always going to have makeup on or a mask on. So we'll let you kind of get that piece that allows you to kind of disconnect.
Right.
So maybe that's honestly them throwing them a bone. That's the only thing I can come up with for that. But like,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, I know I'm very different behind my mask than I am in person. It's almost it's inevitable.
Right. Right. Yeah, absolutely. And again, it took me a long time to like understand that piece because I'm the type that like whether mask is on I don't generally like masks, but whether my makeup is on or off, I can jump in and out of character. I've done Brewster with no makeup many, many times. I've played a character while I'm in regular street clothes many, many times. So it took me a long time to recognize that most people don't do that. And so I have to kind of like look at it through a different lens and understand that other people do things where they, you know, again, letting them put the makeup on before the audition, that could be really helpful for them, you know?
Okay. That's a good point. Okay.
Yeah, it could be. That's actually not one of the points I'd come up with for it.
That's really clever, actually.
Yeah, I was.
Well,
I
now
was,
look who's dropping the bombs.
Yeah, well, I was thinking that.
From your perspective, I'd love to hear that.
Well, so with smaller haunts, and we've worked at some, we were expected to do our own makeup and provide our own costumes. And so if you don't have that, then that might, you know, be an issue for you if you don't know.
But I would also suspect that because smaller haunts like that don't have auditions. They're just grabbing whatever warm body they can get off the street.
That's right. Probably very true too. But I mean, yeah, but no, I like the perspective of if you're in character already, then maybe you'll give your best performance that you can give at that moment.
Yeah. I think I shared the story before with you all about the guy who I was ready to fire. And then we put a mask on him and he became a total rock star.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's this, I think it's the same for me. It's kind of the same, same thinking is okay. Now they've got their makeup on. They feel less like themselves and more like somebody who should be in a haunted house. I feel like it's going to allow them to show off a little bit more and feel more anonymous, I guess.
Yeah. No, yeah.
But I think you also bring up a great point of like, you know, what size is your haunt? Like, what's the budget of your haunt? Like, of course, if you guys had people come to audition, you would want to see what they can do with makeup because you don't have a makeup team, you know? So, so that kind of would make more sense. Whereas again, like, you know, mega haunt number 50, like they don't need to see what people can do with makeup unless, again, that person is applying for that position, you know?
Yeah. Right. Well, this brings us, I think, kind of in an interesting and neat segue into the flip side of the coin, the management side, and what can haunt owners do to make auditions suck, or the intake process in general, suck less? Because we're always looking to make new haunters. We're trying to spread the disease as far as wide as we can.
Yeah.
How do we make baby bats?
You know, so again, I don't like auditions. I don't really believe in doing auditions. And the reason that I don't is because I build the auditions into my actor training. Actor training is required, right? Like I've done for the past, I don't know, six, I think about 6 years that I was doing management, and I'm kind of out of management, so I know it's a little bit out, but when I was doing management, we would do a full month of actor training, meaning every Saturday there was actor training. And we would cover different things, obviously, each week. And it was kind of expected that you would attend at least two. Ideally, we wanted everybody at all four, but really, that was unspoken, of course. but really, we were looking for, you know, we want to see that they can make it to two. And the reason I recommend that approach more than auditions, there's a lot of reasons. Number one, haunt actors are not actors. Number two, what we're really looking for, again, is not always just acting ability. It's, are they a good fit? And by doing actor training every weekend for 4 weeks, what you start to do is you start to see everybody start to join into groups. You know, like there are intentional breaks, you know, like, okay, we're going to go take a break, everybody. Well, what happens during that break? Do the actors go and sit by themselves? Or do they go grab a group of people? Maybe they came with a group of people. Do they just stick with that group of people? Or does that group of people now start connecting with other people that are there? I also try to showcase during my training, I'll showcase, hey, this is blah, blah, blah. She's been working for us for blah, blah, blah amount of years. When I start to see newbies going up to that person on break, I know those are the people that are go-getters. Those are the people that are there to connect, and they want to learn from the best. And what I always see is that they're going and they're asking questions of that person. And to me, that shows like they have a desire to learn, a desire to grow. They recognize that there are certain people there that have a greater amount of experience than them, and they can learn from that experience. So by doing a series of trainings and then building into the exercises that you're doing, like I have people doing stuff that's way out of their comfort zone. You know, like I can't ask a big guy to be small and sneaky, but I do. I do. That's what I do in my training. And, you know, and I kind of tell everybody, look, I understand that some of these things aren't going to feel good to you, but you might learn something from it. You might find certain parts that you can pull out of it. You know, one of my favorites was doing like the big, it was like be a big beast, a big animal, and then like run at, you were going to charge at the other group. You know, we broke them into two groups. You're a beast. You're going to run at him like a monster. Cause I used to know this guy who could gallop like a werewolf. It was amazing. Well, there was this dude, Coop. Coop's like, I don't know, 283 somewhere. He's a big dude. You're not going to see this guy crawling on all fours and running across the room. So he made it his own. He turned into like a gorilla and was like running with his arms in the air. And like he took a role that would not have physically been comfortable for him and did it in a way that was comfortable for him. And that showed me right there. And I still remember this story. And Coop is one of my favorite people I've worked with for years. He's adaptable. He just changes. He does what he needs to do to make it his own. So I'm saying this, as haunt owners, don't expect people to do monologues. Don't expect people to even know how to audition. Just put them into a bunch of different situations where they can fail 70% of the time, but still get 30% of quality, 30% of things that they can actually use. And then, like I said, that's where you measure your intangibles. That's where you measure, can they work, you know, can they follow directions? You know, do they show up on time? Do they show up every week? Do they get along with other people? Is there already drama by the second or third weekend between them and some other people? That's going to tell you a hell of a lot more than an hour-long audition.
Fair enough. Okay, so when is a good time in the year to be holding these auditions? When would you hold your actor training, for example?
Yeah, so I know Scott was talking about having, you know, all of his haunts that he was working for. Excuse me, he had them all staffed by July. And on one hand, I'm like, that's insane. Like, if I was hiring, you don't hire somebody for a job that they're going to start in 3 months, you know, July, August, September, October. So maybe 2.5, 3 months, right? You have people just waiting around. But then my other thought is, what are you doing? Like, what activities or social gatherings is the haunt offering to keep people engaged?
Right.
And I think that, so like what Scott talked about was like, you know, if you get them early in July, then they're going to go on social media and they're going to be like, oh, hey, everybody, I'm working for this haunted house. You got to check it out. And the buzz starts spreading really, really early, which I believe is true and I believe is accurate, but it's a one-time buzz or maybe two posts. But if you have an actor get, you hire people in July, and then at the end of July, you have an actor gathering where it's, we're going to get together and we're going to play improv games at the haunt. Now you've got them re-engaged, staying connected with the group. And then middle of August, we're going to have a barbecue. All right, everybody come out. We'll have a barbecue. You know, the haunt will provide hot dogs and stuff. And if you could bring a side, whatever, you know. Now, again, you've got that social connection. You've got them posting about, oh, I did this event with blah, blah, blah haunted house. And I did this event with blah, blah, blah haunted house. And you're creating a culture. You're creating a community before people have even started working in the haunt. Then that works. But if you're just going to hire people in July and expect them to like show up in October, I don't see the point in that. So I would say if you're not going to do the extra activities, then like maybe early August, mid August. So then you can start training and do actor trainings every weekend in September. To me, that's almost a non-negotiable. Like you just have to do that if you can, if you have the means to do so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense, actually.
Yeah. And you can also be checking in any time that you hold those events.
Yeah.
So exactly. That your page is.
Right. You're going to take pictures. Yeah. You know, you'll take pictures of everybody. They'll be taking pictures. You know, and like that's at one haunt that we worked at, we had a motto that we talked about every night that was, share, like, comment, and share.
Mm-hmm.
We coached our actors, or our crew, I should say, not just our actors, our entire crew, on like, we need you to be talking about our haunt on social media. We have to have it. We need it. You know, we absolutely have to do that. And so we conditioned our people to just like, anytime you see a post from our page, you share it. You like it, you comment on it, and you share it again. And so I think that if you start that even at those little parties, then you get the same thing where like, oh, I'm at the Scary Haunted House brand name here, you know, insert brand name here, you know, barbecue party today. Or, you know, because even that stuff, like, think about it. Most haunts don't pay well. Let's get that out there, right? Most haunts don't pay very well. We don't have the means to do so. You guys, I know, are volunteer. There's a lot of haunts are volunteer or close to volunteer. So if you're selling the fact of, oh yeah, we run this haunted house, but check it out, we also do barbecues. You know, we're doing a field trip where we're going to go out and visit this haunted house that's open on this particular night, or oh, we're going to go out and do laser tag at this other haunted house, or oh, we're gonna go do axe throwing at this other haunted house, and like show that there's all these like social things that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're not just selling the fact that they're gonna come in and do a job. You're selling the fact that, hey, come be a part of our group.
Yeah,
you know, one of us, right? You know,
yeah. And then that really plays into the next topic, which we had lined up, which was, how do you make newbies feel welcome, like a part of the family?
Right.
How do you get them in? Because every time we've worked at a haunt, it's always been, we're the newbies usually, and except for our haunt, we're the newbies. Everyone else has known each other for a bajillion years.
Mm-hmm.
We got all these war stories. How do you bring them in and make them feel like part of the family?
I think that if you have a positive culture in your haunt already, it happens almost naturally. Like, if you have a haunt that's really, really clicky, it's gonna be hard. It's gonna be difficult for a new person to kind of join in. And then there's even that additional pressure if they start to realize, oh, there's this group and there's this group and there's this group. Which group do I join? That can be worse. But I think if you kind of create a culture where, like, I'm big on mentorship and teaching and coaching. I believe very strongly in that in all elements of our lives. So if you build a culture that is a mentoring, coaching, supportive environment, then the people that stay on with you, this is kind of like evolution or natural selection. The people that stay part of your crew are people who also believe in that. And so they're the people that they're going to be, oh yeah, this newbie's coming and talking to me. I'm not going to pshaw and stick my nose up in the air because I'm above that. They're going to be like, oh yeah, that's so great to hear. You know, like I want to hear more, and they'll have those conversations.
Is there a way to, when you're doing actor training and things like that, to break up those cliques and try to get everybody to be more of a whole?
I mean, I try to use, so what I guess part of what I try to do, so like I'm big on smoke breaks. I don't smoke myself. But when I was haunting, I would smoke a lot more often. I quit a long time ago, but when I was at the haunt, I would always kind of like pick it back up. I don't anymore. But I
haunting, bad for your health, kids.
Yeah, it was, the amount of stress that I would put myself through every month, and then like, okay, I just need to go outside and smoke a cigarette. But now I don't even, you know, like when I'm at a haunt, I never smoke. I don't. But I will still go outside for smoke breaks. And what I personally try to do is people will naturally want to talk to me because they know I'm in charge. I'm the boss. So they'll come over and they'll share whatever haunting stories or this character that they thought of, or to me, the people that I really enjoy even more are the people that come and they start asking questions. Because again, those are the people that are naturally inquisitive and they understand like, okay, this guy's got the experience. I should learn from him. But a lot of times, again, they're telling stories. So what I kind of like to do is I take those stories and I connect them with people who are already there. So I'll listen to their story or I'll answer their questions or listen to their questions or whatever. And then I'll be like, oh man, you know what? You know, Joe over here used to do something just like that. And it was so effective. Joe, come here and tell him about this. So I'm like making the introductions. I'm making the connections for people. And also what I try to acknowledge is like, yes, I have a lot of experience. I've done this for a really long time, but I'm not the Bible of haunts, right? Like you can't just read from me and know all the rules you have to live by. Like there's different perspectives, there's different ways of doing things. So I never want my word to be totally law in a lot of instances. In some instances, like around safety and professionalism, like, look, if you don't abide by this thing, we got a problem. Yeah. So I think it's a matter of allowing other people to have voices and to let people know that you're not the ultimate authority. There's a lot of really great expertise to choose from. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And I like that idea of helping to make the introductions and, you know, doing that. Cause you're right. I mean, new actors will tend to gravitate to the people in charge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Talk to them and getting some face time with them, and that makes sense. That's a good point. And something I think especially like actor managers need to focus on is helping them make friendships and connections there, because pretty much no haunt pays enough for anybody to call it a job, really.
Right.
Just being an actor in a haunt, no one pays. I mean, you're working how many hours per week? It's not even a part-time job. And it's, you know what I mean, realistically for most people. So the reason people keep coming back is because of the friendships they form and the social connections they make. Fostering those social connections has got to be a top priority.
I mean, that's the real, honestly, that's, to me, that's the real draw to haunted houses. Like, I know that, you know, there's the I guess, more corporate or more, or even just more established haunts that will pay, that, you know, they pay minimum wage, or this has been a big topic on Haunters Hangout that I've been really excited at looking at of what people get paid. And the great majority of people that I've seen, certainly in that thread, and that I've experienced, like, they don't really care about the money. Like,
no.
They want to be a part of a group where it's okay to just be them. You know, like, haunters tend to be not mainstream people. We are just not mainstream people. We are not people that necessarily fit into that. And so being able to be accepted and being able to feel comfortable is what people are looking for. You know, that's really what they want. And so you have to facilitate an environment that allows people to be that, but also with some parameters of, like, you know, there are things that are socially acceptable and there are things that are not socially acceptable. And some people need, like, you know, I've dealt with a lot of actors that I work with in haunted houses who really need that stuff spelled out for them. You know, like, what does it mean to be a professional? What does professionalism look like? And I always try to think about if I can coach people on some haunted house stuff that also helps them when they're not at the haunted house, that's a good thing. You know, like, that's a win for everybody. So I think that it's, you know, it's important to create an environment where people are comfortable, where people want to come back. And again, that takes, I think, a lot of curating of your people that you work with and making sure that it is always a safe and comfortable environment. But you know, again, my training, the first two things I cover in my 101, my basic 101, every single time, number one is safety. Number two is professionalism, because those two pieces, without safety, a haunt gets shut down. Without professionalism, nobody wants to come back. Well, so you got to cover those.
Without safety, the haunt is lucky if it gets shut down.
Right.
That's the best outcome for the haunt. Without safety, a lot worse can happen than that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. Now, we only got time for one more really good question here.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Yeah, we've been at it almost 50 minutes, dude.
Wow. All right. Here we go.
It's flown by. I know. It's incredible. I hope everyone listening feels the same way. But no, it's been really good stuff. I've been really enthralled too. But yeah, we've been here about just underneath 50 minutes. What are some tips for spotting actor talents, for finding, you know, what makes an actor good for a specific role? You shared some stories like putting the guy in the mask and so forth, but what are some tips for sort of coaxing out that skill, that weakness?
You know, like I said, I believe in giving as many opportunities for them to show different skills. And again, if you want to stick with the standard audition style, that by all means do it. But make sure that you're allowing a lot of different skills to be shown. You know, you may want somebody to be able to do a monologue. You may want somebody to just be able to do improv. You may want somebody to literally be able to, like, put them into the haunt, you know, and have them hide somewhere and then check their timing and see how quickly does this person pop out? Did they pop out at the right time? Do they pop out too early, too late? What are they doing when they do pop out? So just knowing what it is that you need in your haunt, and then creating situations and opportunities for the auditionees. Is that what it's called?
I guess so. I haven't noticed now.
creating situations for the auditionees to show off that they can or can't do that. But again,
well,
you know, look for the intangibles. That's the most important part.
Like one of the things that we typically do with our haunt is we have one role every year that it's usually as limited to as simple as hitting thing with other thing to make loud noise. And the reason we have that role is because we can take new people who have never been in a haunt before, totally untested, throw them in there and watch their timing. Because they only got to worry about one thing. It's thing against other thing. It's not very difficult. There's no other skills involved. But you get their timing. Do they know to hit when they're right beside, when they're, you know, but still have them in the peripheral vision. You know what I mean? You see this, and you can actually watch that and watch how the crowd, the groups going through react to this. Are they getting good pops? And then go, okay, we've got the timing thing down. We can put you, we can step you up and give you another skill to tack onto it.
And building off of that, one thing that I saw that I've recognized, Joe Jensen is a superstar here in Chicago. He's the guy behind Hades, and he's like kind of the father of haunt acting in Chicago, and it, certainly in my opinion. And Joe, what I've noticed about Joe's training is that he gives very specific directions, and it could be something as simple as start, stop, you know, go now, do this. And what he's actually doing when he does that is he's conditioning people to understand how to follow his directions. And so when you're doing something like that, where you're having them pop out, the average person isn't going to know what exactly the right time is.
Yeah.
They're going to want to go as soon as the first person comes.
Oh, yeah.
But you don't want that. You want them to scare from the side. Once they start, you know, let them do what they're going to do naturally, but then go, all right, I want you to scare the side of the group. You know, give them a vague direction and see what they do with that. And if they can't take that, then the next step is scare the third person. You know, so just kind of scaffold.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
How you give the coaching so that you understand this person is like going to need very specific coaching, whereas this person, you can give them a general idea of what the hell they need to do.
Yeah.
And they'll go figure it out.
Some people you just say, go do something scary in that room. You'll figure it out. And they're great and fine. And some people you need to scare exactly as the third person takes the fifth step in this room.
Yep.
Well, and that's actually what I do with those new people is that, okay, you're going to know how big the group size is coming through, because we always let our actors know. Yeah. Because it's going to be between 1 and 4. If it's 3, hit whenever you see the second person just about to pass your spot, because then you're hitting the back of the line.
Things like that. Yeah, getting the right level of specificity.
Yeah,
that's
I once had an actor. I literally put tape on the floor.
Yeah,
I put tape on the floor. I said, "You're going to start at this X." And you're going to end at this X. Like, I need you to move from here to here and then from here to here. So 1, 2, 3, these are your spots. Go. And like, no problem. No problem once it was laid out that clearly. But when I was saying, I need you to move through the group, that didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So some people need a high degree of specificity.
What
Jonathan said.
Yeah, specificity.
Yeah.
Some people need really, really clear directions. Other people, like you said, you just say, go in here and scare people. And they're, oh, yeah, no problem. I got
it. No problem, boss, on it. Okay, one last question. What are some tips for letting down actors that aren't a good fit? Now, we talked about, you know, what it means and why you shouldn't take it hard.
Right.
But still, if you're the one doing the rejecting, it hurts, it sucks. No one likes to tell anyone they're not a good fit. What do you recommend? Got any suggestions?
You know, this, and again, this is kind of my own experience with job interviews and stuff. Like, I honestly think it's important that you follow up with people and kind of explain like what it was specifically that they did that prevented them from getting the job. Give them an opportunity to learn from it so that next time they don't make that same mistake, you know?
Yeah.
And let them know, like, you know, it's not you, it's me, it's us type of thing. You know, it could be that, like, it's not you. You're really good at the things that you did, but what we need are people that can do this, this, and this. So it's not that you're bad. It's just that you're not necessarily a good fit.
And here's the thing. You may even be able to say you're not the right for our haunt. You may want to talk to so-and-so. They need that skill set more than we do.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. And you know, and I always encourage that positive connection between all the haunts. So like, if you've got a brother/sister haunt that like, they're not going to work here because we don't need that. But man, if you go over to this haunt, it's going to be helpful. I think that's a really great thing to help the entire community.
Yeah.
Because we can't, I can say this, in our market, we cannot afford to lose people that would
be interested.
interested in hunting.
Yeah.
You know, Scott in his article talked about like there being an abundance of haunt actors. I don't know where it is that Scott.
Yeah, where the hell are you getting that from, dude?
But like that has not been my experience in anybody that I've talked to in this region and other regions. So I don't know where he's coming up with that, but like,
you know, I'll say this.
We can't afford to scare people off.
Right. I know that Baton Rouge and the 13th Gate and so forth auditions way more than they take on.
Yeah.
That's the only place I can think of that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it still does. That was years ago I last heard about that.
Yeah.
Right. And I think it's funny because I think, yeah, there are probably some haunts that like, this is a legit thing. Like you need to really have your auditioning process solid. You need to, you know, you have to know that you're going to be rejecting people. But the vast majority of us, like,
I'll find something for you to do.
Yeah, we said we were doing auditions, but we didn't tell anybody no. I didn't have to tell a single person no, unless again they did something so stupid and so insane that I was like, dude, you're not a good fit. You got to go. But you know, generally speaking, most haunts don't have that luxury. We're going to take you. And so what we really need to be doing is using those auditions as evaluation processes so that we can look at what can this person do? What can this person not do? How do I staff this person? How do I help build this person in the areas that they need to build?
Okay. Sounds good.
I think that's a good point to end on. I think that's it.
Yeah.
I think you just hit it. Dude, dropping the knowledge bombs today, as you usually do, as you always do. It usually my ass. Always, your consistency is remarkable. But no, Japes, thank you so much for spending the past hour with us. It has been wonderful. We greatly appreciate your knowledge and advice. And like I said, this was an area we had pretty much no experience with, and you helped us out a great deal. So thanks a lot, and hope everyone else found this as useful as we did.
Yeah, thank you again for having me on. It's always fun to talk haunt stuff.
Yeah. Now, what's this conference you're involved with again?
It's called the Midwest Haunters Convention.
Hmm.
It'll be taking
stroking the goatee.
June 6th to June 9th. I will be helping out with a lot of different stuff. We're very excited that the Hell's Gate tour on Friday the 7th. I'm providing actors for each bus, so there will be actor hosts on every bus. So if you haven't bought your ticket for the Hell's Gate tour, make sure to get that. But it's going to be a fun time.
Hell's Gate is an amazing haunt too. I mean,
and if you're an actor or owner and want to take part in these interesting conversations, what was that group again?
Freelance Haunters. Yeah. Freelance Haunters. If you're interested in checking out what we got going on there, again, it's, you know, we try to keep the conversations very focused on deep conversations as opposed to, like I said, post your clown pictures here.
Yeah,
that makes a lot of sense. Well, Japes, thank you again for spending the hour with us. It was immensely useful. I think I learned a lot. I feel much more wise on this topic now. This has been Haunt Weekly, episode 179, all about haunt auditions and haunt intake. We've been here with Japes Palace. Now, next week is episode 180. That means it's time to do the news. The news. The mothership. Wrong podcast. Wrong podcast. But yes, on that note, once again, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And we will see you guys next time.